Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, I have heard or seen or read enough sermons, devotions, and illustrations based on the text we know as The Matrix to convince me that we should probably begin to include it in published copies of the New Testament Apocrypha. And yet I must confess that when I read again this passage from James chapter 1, the first thing that came to my mind was not the Beatitudes, no passage from Hebrews, was not the sixth petition, was not the testing of Abraham, was not 1 Corinthians 10. Rather, it was a cluster of scenes from the Matrix that has its hermeneutical center in a conversation between Neo and Cypher aboard the Nebuchadnezzar. Cypher ends this conversation by saying, "A little piece of advice. You see an agent, you do what we do, run." Dietrich Bonhoeffer has reminded us that neither natural man nor moral man can understand the prayer, "Lead us not into temptation." The prayer of natural and moral man is rather, "Lead me into temptation. Let me prove myself, and let me prove to myself the power of the good that is at work in me." But the tempting, the testing, the trying of which the Bible speaks is no test of my own strength. For as Bonhoeffer wrote in his Bible study on temptation, it is of the very essence of temptation in the Bible that all my strength, to my horror, and without my being able to do anything about it, is turned against me. Really, all my powers, including my good and pious powers, the strength of my faith, fall into the hand of the enemy power and are now led into the field against me. Before there can be any testing of my powers, I have been robbed of them. A few pages later in that same Bible study, Bonhoeffer gives advice which sounds very similar to Cypher's and probably very familiar to all of us. Therefore, the Bible teaches us in times of temptation in the flesh to flee. Flee fornication. Flee from idolatry. Flee youthful lusts. Flee the lust of the world. There is no resistance to Satan other than flight. Well, that seems to make a very good Christian common sense to all of us. We know that we are more Mr. Anderson than we are Neo. We are not made of the heroes. We rightly have no desire to be proven on the battlefield of temptation. But how does this, which is surely a biblical teaching about temptation, harmonize with James's pronouncement of blessing upon the one who hypomenes, the one who stands fast, the one who remains and endures, the one who stands fast rather than runs fast? Well, first of all, for all the talk about how practical this particular letter is, it would be a misreading of James chapter 1 to regard it as an answer to the question, how does the Christian respond to temptation? Verse 12 is a blessing. It's not a command. The imperatives will come later in verses 13 and 17. Now, it's understandable why we might be tempted to read the text this way. The closest verbal parallel to this passage may, in fact, be Revelation 2:10's "Be faithful unto death," imperative, "be faithful, and I will give you the crown of life." But we don't have to leave James to get that kind of language. Recall James 4, verse 7. Resist, set yourself against the devil, imperative. We could even say, take your stand against him, and he will flee. Still, none of these passages could be used as proof texts for seeing temptation as the opportunity for the Christian to demonstrate his or her strength. Certainly, least of all, our text. James is not giving us here some sort of how to overcome temptation in 40 days manual. Rather, he is encouraging us by pointing us forward to what awaits those of us who outlast the time of trial. Although James does feel the need to remind his readers of the true origins of temptation, he writes with a confident hope that all his readers will remain steadfast, that temptations and trials will be to the ultimate good of his readers, and that just as nothing can separate us from God's love, so all these experiences will in the end lead the faithful into an ever greater experience of the good and perfect gifts of God. And that brings me to my second point. For all the discussion of how to translate and then interpret verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, there is precious little attention given to the connection, the logical connection between 16 through 18 and 12 through 15. Many see no connection at all. In fact, many see no logical connection in James in general. They simply think James is changing to a new subject here. Or perhaps James is simply making a sharp contrast between what God does not do, tempt us to evil, and what God does do, give us good and perfect gifts. But there is a connection here. And you can see the connection if you look back once again at what James has written right before our text. Count it all joy, my brothers, James wrote, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. He then continues, if any of you lacks wisdom. Well, you should be able to hear in those verses a series of themes that are introduced there and then expanded upon in our text. By means of a variety of trials, the believer is brought through steadfast endurance to perfection. Not demonstrates his steadfast endurance and perfection, but is brought through endurance to completion. Now, the example James uses to make his point in verses 5 through 8 is especially appropriate for all of us here this morning. How is it that we come to know that we are lacking in wisdom? You come here, right? And you have more than enough people to tell you that. How, unless some experience has confronted us for which our wisdom is inadequate? And how will we incompletely wise ones ever become wiser unless we endure the testing, the experience, and in complete faith ask our Father for wisdom. Should we refuse to undergo the trial? Should we refuse to accept what the testing demonstrates, finding the fault for our failure not in a lack in ourselves, but in the malice of God? How then can the trial benefit us? How then could we receive anything from the Lord? Deceived into thinking ourselves already perfect, lacking nothing, we could not come to know those good gifts the Father of lights has already prepared for us and is holding in store for us in eager anticipation of the day when we'll be ready for them. But here we need to hear Bonhoeffer's warning again. We cannot make the temptations good for us. There is an intimate and mysterious connection between these trials and the good gifts of God that we can neither penetrate nor manipulate. We will not seek temptations. We will not bid them come. Neither will we fear them. When we find ourselves under assault, we cling to the promise that there is no change in God. He is not kind one day and cruel the next. He is not sunshine during Epiphany and thunder and lightning during Lent. What he gives is always good. According to his steadfast and merciful will, he has decided to break the cycle of desire, sin, and death by giving birth to us, new birth, through the word of his truth. There may be judgment in him, but there is no evil. We are his heart's desire and delight, born anew by his will and by his alone. Will he now abandon and expose us in temptation as if we were children he no longer wanted? That's impossible. As my mom would paraphrase the second half of verse 13, there's not a mean bone in his body. He gives generously, and what he gives is good. James is not giving us a recipe for making bread out of stones when we find ourselves in the wilderness. He is rather giving us a word of God by which we can live. He is neither teaching us how to find the silver lining in that every storm cloud must have, nor is he providing us with a storm shelter so that we can come in out of the rain. He is pronouncing the blessing of God upon all those for whom, through faith in Jesus Christ, every experience can now be a way into the fuller enjoyment of the goodness of our God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.